Blog Talk Radio.
All right, guys, welcome to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. Y'all know who I am. This is the Haruda Oracle 7, guys. And I am back because I was listening to, those of you who don't know, World Rise Information is just a podcast, a series that I'll come on randomly during the week at any time, and normally in the a.m. hours, in the early a.m. hours. And I give, you know, a lecture, World Rising Information. Enhancing Awareness Radio is one big classroom, guys. So we learn and we grow together. You know what I mean? So I have not listened to this one, you guys. And I am listening and learning. Like I always say, I love to sit on the couch with you guys and learn instead of teaching most of the time, you know, because I'm a student first. So World Rising Information, guys, this is about the pyramid. You know what I'm saying? We know, we hear so many stories about the pyramid. But, you know, Brother Sanchez is a factual type person with, you know, his backup, right? And his clip is in the show notes, guys. Go and watch his channel. Go subscribe to his channel. Go watch his channel. His content, amazing, brother. He's not liked by many, but I appreciate people who are not liked by many because they're the ones who are normally telling the motherfucking truth, okay? So, and I'm the same way. So I appreciate you know, I appreciate that. So, Brother Sanchez, if you can feel this, I appreciate you, brother, for what all that you do and all the way. You know, I heard a debate yesterday, and it was a debate, and, you know, I was like, oh, my God, why are they debating over smoke, you know? But I was just saying to myself, you know, I was telling a friend yesterday, too, that sometimes it's not for us to engage in things, but a lesson that I'm learning is sometimes we just need to listen, you know. And first of all, we don't have to do shit, but for me, you know, I'm learning that sometimes I don't have to engage in stuff, but I have to pay attention, and I have to, because in the chaotic things that we resist and that we don't want to give energy to, sometimes, you know, it may just require a listening ear, compassionately, because we may have the wisdom in order to redirect on a soul spiritual level, on a higher ranking level, we may have the capacity to redirect energy. And if we are not listening to each other compassionately, just sometimes, some shit you just shouldn't give your energy to, I get that. But sometimes there are hidden messages hidden in, and it was a message, sometimes message, or a lot of us don't like Christianity. But I'm learning, you guys, our ancestors, you know, isn't that what they knew? You know what I'm saying? So don't you feel that if they're trying to relay a message to you, that they may be trying to convey it through Christianity? It's just a thought. I'm not telling people to conform back, but that's the listening that I'm talking about. And when I say listening, I'm talking about with your first eye, with your mind's eye, you guys. So just, I want to just put that out there, and I just got chills saying that. So I just wanted to put that out there, guys. You know, a channel message, you know, could be suggested that sometimes there are channels in which we want to communicate with you, but we can't communicate with you because no one's listening. So that's a channel message from the ancestor, guys. Take you how you want it. But let's get into it, guys. He's talking about the pyramid scheme. This is 2 hours and 45 minutes, so I don't want to waste no time with this one. This is a three-hour show. So let's see what Bo Sanchez is saying about these pyramids. And I'll be back to close out.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Full moon tonight too, y'all. So do your rituals.
Teach, bro, showing you now. For example, a conversation about how here's another example of how a pyramid can be built from the top down. Just so we know, the whole conversation about how pyramids are built from the top down lies into the concepts that I'm showing you now. For example, what I'm trying to get y'all to do is stop thinking physically. Stop thinking that a physical pyramid was built from the top down. Then we won't have to say stuff like, well, maybe they levitated a brick. They was levitating bricks if they was riding on the back of a camel. Why not levitate themselves everywhere they want to go? Check this out, y'all. We don't need levitation when we understand what they was talking about. How is a pyramid created from the top down? Look at the system of government. We even say in the military, shit flow downhill. You know, on a workplace, the higher-ups make a decision, and it don't really affect the higher-ups. It affects everybody at the bottom of the pyramid. Some of y'all work in corporate America. You know what I'm talking about. So this whole system is what's called a pyramid scheme. Yes, our world system of government is a big pyramid scheme. I said it. It's based upon the caste system of ancient Egypt. And this shows you how a pyramid is created from the top down. What's supporting the pharaoh at the top are look at all these layers at the bottom, and that is literally them knowing the secrets of cosmology. Check this out. All of these lines right here are supporting the pyramid, which is the pharaoh. This black stone represents the pharaoh, and they call it the Ben Ben stone. Watch this. The pharaoh was so egotistical. He was personifying himself as the tip or the capstone of creation. That is, so this is why we have the word capitalism, guys, capitalism. All right, so the capstone that you see on your money that's missing from the pyramid, that is this Ben Ben stone. Basically, the pharaoh was saying to the world, I am God. And he was the first man in the flesh to be worshipped. The representation of him today would be the ego. That's called ego, man. That's what Kanye West doing right now. Look, when you see images like this. See, in the ancient world, this would have been considered blasphemy. This would have been what the true blasphemy was. Because what he's saying is, I am God, basically. So if you look at all of the ancestral cosmology, the spot where Kanye's sitting at, they got the throne of God right there. And it's not occupied by any human. For example, in the case of the Hebrew cosmos, you see a bright white light on that throne. And see, the Hebrews said no man can even look upon the face of God. If you look at their cosmology, you'll see above all of the seven heavens, there in a throne is this bright ball of light. Matter of fact, I'm going to show it to y'all real quick. I'm trying not to open too much stuff. I don't know what's going on with the computer today. But now, let me show you some crazy stuff. while we're talking about this. Here go the Hebrew conception of the universe. Y'all want to go into etymology and go deep? Now check this out. This God of the heavens that the Hebrew worshiped was the most popular patriarchal form of the creator on earth during its time. Meaning before this, everyone else had a goddess, not a god. We only just started worshiping a god on earth. Before that, everybody had a great mother. That's what Mary was. We're going to talk about that right now. Understand when you say the word Hebrew, it's because before the Hebrew was the she-brew. And when you get this concept of a woman stirring up a witch pot, the witch with the witch hat on stirring the pot up, that was a story to teach children how Mother Nature is creating energy at the North Pole. The vortex that I'm teaching you about on all these images, the stirring up of our sky with the sun and moon going around this center pole, something stirring up the heavens. Ancestors had that as a lady stirring up a pot. And to this day, we say that in language. We'd be like, oh, don't stir up the pot now. It's just, this is old terminology on earth, y'all. The concept of a witch hat is right here on the screen. When you take a spotlight and shine it on a stage, the light itself is the singularity. It's a dot, a bulb. And from that bulb, you get a triangle that spans downward. And when it make contact with the stage, it make a circle. In the Bible, when it say the face of God looked upon the circle of the earth, this is how they was conceiving the earth. It would be no different than this spotlight hovering above the circle that it's casting. So not only was the face of God looking upon the circle of the earth, it was creating the earth as well. And this is the best way to teach this is with this image I'm showing you right now. This spotlight would be God or the source of light. And then creation is expanding from the source. And then when it's casted down from the source, the circle of the earth is manifested. All of the energy that's creating our earth lead right back to the source at the middle, the most high. This is the highest point on earth. And this is why Kanye West has this artwork that I was sharing with y'all. So we don't understand what blasphemy really is, but we don't know what the creator really was to the ancestors. But check this out. This is how you get the witch out. Now, we in the Halloween month. The concept of Adam and Eve being pure light beings living in Eden or Aten. Let me show you something. The word Eden is the word Aten. That's why I showed you this. Hold on. This is optimism. Edenism. Edenism is optimism. Yes, the Hebrew word. So when I was saying Hebrew and Hebrew, right, the witch brewing up, you know how the witch would look in a pot and can see the future and shit? Yeah, that's mythology. But that showing you at the North Pole is CERN technology. The word CERN is the word turn, which is the word turn. That's why we get the word brew. Brew. So when you say Hebrew, you're literally dealing with why you think all of these original Hebrew gods have a staff like Moses. They have a stick in their hand. You know why they held that stick in their hand? Because that's what the witch used to stir up the pot. And here it is on the screen. This, the North Pole would be the stick and the earth would be the pot. What's stirring up our sky, making the sun and moon go in a circle around it, there's a stirring happening, a brewing. And what's being brewed up is something called life. So this is, when you say Hebrew, the word Hebrew is literally a play on what's happening at the seat of God, a stirring of the ether. So we can move on from that. Now, also, when you say Hebrew, that became the word, you know, the H is silent, Eber or Ebru, which later became Abra, like Abracadabra and Abraham, Abraham, Ibrahim, and you, there go your etymology for the Hebrew brothers who want to go down that path. But check this out, y'all. So check this out, y'all. Here's, so Kanye West standing right here is showing you this Hebrew God. He go to Pharaoh basically doing it in his own way right here. This whole black, this stone that the builders rejected and all that. If you think about the esoteric shit, what I'm saying, Kanye is kind of like the black sheep, the casted out stone in Hollywood right now. Or he's the stone that the builders rejected. You know how we say it, they do these rituals on a cult level? So we get all of these images right here, and then we start getting this whole black sheep, Ben stone ritual with Kanye and shit. And everybody was like, what's happening to Kanye? You see, that's a whole other lecture. I ain't going to tie that into this one. But check this out, y'all. The black peace stone, or this black stone, this Benben stone, what all of them want to stand on top of is right here. And the reason they want to do that is because that's representing the highest point, the seat of God, the center of the earth. That's all you need to know about that, basically. So, yeah. When anytime somebody talk about pyramids being created from the top down, just show them this. You know, this right here represents Aten, and tell them about Eden, because Aten represents the place, the birthplace of our universe, and this is showing you a picture of Eden or Aten right here. This shows the journey from. So when they say the journey from Eden, they talking about the journey from Aten. Now, if you go look up Aten, the ancient Hebrew, this is their way of showing it. Today, we got Adam and Eve at a tree of life. But when you pull up Aten, before it became Eden with Adam and Eve, here it is in Egypt. You see this man and woman around this little stargate portal with the snake on it? Later, this became a tree of life with Adam and Eve. You see? Check this out. So, see, the serpent gave Adam and Eve the knowledge on how to be like God. And what did he mean to be like God? God was a fallen angel. God was, see, Eden dwelling of nothing but creators and higher beings. There are no gods in Eden. The gods live on the earth. These are like Satan, Christ. The gods are dealing with science, technology, Elon Musk, rapper, celebrity. The idols are the gods. All of the beings in Eden are light beings. So this image shows you the human beings casted out of Eden. Like this serpent really represents the portal back into the land of the gods. So the serpent, whatever knowledge he gave Adam and Eve, it casted them out of Eden and put them down here in these human bodies to be kings and queens on earth. And that's what was he was promising them, the same thing he promised Jesus, which is their own kingdom. Man trying to make his own kingdom now with the CERN machine. He trying to make his own universe and let people dwell in it. The serpent represents the opening of the CERN portal. And when that opens up, not only can we go to multiple universes, we can create our own. And that's what exactly what we see happening right now in science. They talking about we going to space and the people wearing the symbol of a serpent, and they ain't even focused on going to space. They focused on opening up a portal. So check this out, y'all. This your Adam and Eve story. Because Eden is Achen. And remember, Odin is Eden. Odin, Achen. Odin is a one-eyed god. Here go the one-eyed god right here, y'all. When we talk about the reptilian eye, the serpent right here, man, inside of the Stargate. That's the pineal gland. That's the gateway in and out of the flesh, or what we call an out-of-body experience. See, that serpent, when it crawls out of this Stargate, it wears the apple like a snail wearing a shell. And that's why we all have a Taurus field with a kundalini in the middle of it. We're like a worm stuck in an apple. That's what we're off. And the worm is the kundalini, the serpent, and the apple is the Taurus. Look in here. When the serpent fell from Eden, because we're in our true sense, we are just sine waves of energy. This serpent inside of this ball, this is a huge ball of light. And everybody knows when you put a bunch of snakes together, they make a ball. They make a snake ball, like in Indiana Jones. So all of them snakes represent sine waves. And together they make this big ball of light. We call that Polaris. You cannot exist inside of this Stargate if you're not a serpent. Be like water. All the beings in this Stargate are serpent beings or sine waves of energy. People who have freed their kundalini, they have freed their consciousness out the body, or they have snatched the worm out of the apple. When you pull a rabbit out the hat, it's the same thing. Pulling a rabbit out the hat, pulling the needle out the haystack, pulling the worm out the apple, pulling the kundalini out the body, it's the same thing. Once we pull, see, in order to pull something properly, you got to pull it from the root to get it good. And pulling it from the root is right here, our root, the root chakra, the base of the spine. That's how you unfree that snake from out the body. And that snake is the true self. That snake is the true self, the most high, the one on high. Look at it. That's you and me. And our true home is Eden. And when the snake leaves his little hole, his true home, he break himself apart from that other ball of snakes, and he want to be separate in his own body. All of these lines of light are human beings. It's lines of energy connecting to animals and creatures. There's so many of them coming from one source. Each of these lights is connecting to a breathing creature below. This is what you call a lifeline. You yourself is one of the magnetic ley lines of the earth. And when you leave, there will be another human here to replace your ley line. We are the energy recycling through the machine.
Indeed.
When we see symbols like this all the time, but we don't really pay them no attention. Let me show you something. This is what it means, people. String theory. All of the snakes are tangling up at the North Pole. All of the snakes are tangling up like the Ouroboros. That's why they call it the Ouroboros. A snake lives in a burrow. A burrow. And if a bunch of snakes live in a burrow, this is what they make. So when you say Ouroboros, it's almost like snakes talking to other snakes saying, hey, this is our burrow, our true home, which is Eden. Okay. Think about what we're seeing in the image too. All of these images that's showing you infinity got the snakes coiled up together. You see, this is what's happening at Eden. All of our energy is uniting, all of the kundalini's. See, within us is a sine wave of energy, and that's what we really are. And once we unroot this part, you see how the bottom of this snake tail is pinned to the spinal cord? That the root chakra is what we got to pull it by the root. You got to pull it. If you don't pull it by the root, then that shit will grow another head on top of the stem. So if we got to uproot ourselves from this world, come up out of her. And you pull it by the root, and that'll free the snake from the tree. And when the snake climb up the spine, it will leave this stargate because the snake represents a sine wave of energy that can't escape the body until we release it. We got to release the genie from the left. So when we talk about the genie and the left, that became the word genesis, genesis. The genesis shows you the story about the genie, which is the serpent, inside of the lamp, which is our true home. The lamp is the true home. That represents Eden. The snow, this place right here where the serpent is, he's standing in the doorway of Eden. And it's showing you a sort of farewell, one of their loved ones perhaps, on the other side, saying, you know, looking into the earth realm. That is what this picture represents. When the serpent unties itself, division and duality take place. In Eden, there's a grand unity, just like what we see here. All of the beings and energy in Eden is united like a snake ball. And what do we call it when a bunch of people get together and have a party? We say we having a ball because all of our energy become connected. This is the concept of becoming one and why we use the snake to talk about this. See what I'm saying? So you look at this image here, and what we see here is when the snake leaves out the stargate, it's no longer a snake. It's casted onto the earth in the form of the flesh or the human body, and that's why the body, and that's why the Bible say, humans beware, Satan is among you, but you don't really know who he is, because he in a regular body just like us, which is why I was telling you there may be human beings dwelling among us that may have been to this earth several times. They transcended souls that know how to upload their consciousness in and out of different bodies and cheat death and stay here. This is what the Pharaoh claimed to have done, and he repeated through Satan walking among us, still trying to keep order and harvest people's souls in this underworld. This image shows the soul of the Pharaoh and his wife being casted out of Eden as humans onto the earth, which proved my point that Adam and Eve would have been seraphim, as they call it in theology. Matter of fact, let me back that up even more. The next artwork we're about to look at is called The Creation of Adam. Let me see here. I'll show you in a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I can find this shit. Y'all gonna have to bear with me for 1 second. This gonna be worth it though. I've showed this before, but I gotta show it again, and this time I'm gonna save the image when I find it so I don't gotta keep wasting y'all time looking for it. Hold on. And if I can't find it, I ain't gonna waste y'all time. But basically, there's an image, an old image from the church of God creating Adam, and they got Adam as a damn snake. Now, you know they got Jesus as a snake in the Vatican. These people worship a snake like you. They got a snake all the time. Don't you know Halloween is dealing with the word hollow, like hollow, hologram? Your body is your costume. This whole earth is like Halloween, trick or treat. Because everyone on this earth is wearing a mask called a body. And the earth itself looked like one pumpkin. All of the symbols and holiday festivals go back to this shit. When you look at all of these branches wrapped up around Jesus, it goes back to support what I'm showing you here. When we talk about becoming one with Christ, this was a circuit. Here is Chris Mark Christmas. This is from Beast the Living. What is this called? They said two snakes together is a sign of commitment. They said Lilith is connected with snakes from the beginning. Remember now, Lilith was an Eden with Adam and Eve. She was like them. Already in the garden. And they said she is the serpent which convinced Eve to take a bite of the apple. They say Lilith is. And this is the symbol. They said whenever you see two snakes fall together, that's like a symbol of Lilith or some shit like that. But if you look at the two snakes together, it's like the two yin-yang fish together. But it's just showing you the unity, the DNA strength, like DNA. Like, that's all it is, like DNA. Your DNA is really all you are. That's your sine wave vibrational energy. That's what we're calling the Kundalini. So the word DNA is like antenna, right? And when your sine wave or DNA enters the vortex, simply the Saturn is like antenna or DNA. It's going to sound crazy, but look, DNA backwards, you get a common connecting word that we use called AND, A-N-D. You know why? The thing about AND, it's a connection point, like Adam and Eve, from and down. And the child is a connection point between the parents. So when you flip DNA backwards, you get that same fat and. Because we say man, woman, and child. The and is the DNA. It's the language that's a connection point.
allow two things to combine that otherwise wouldn't have. Like if I say red, blue, that's literally a color that you can say, well, that's just another way of saying purple, what I'm saying to you. But how do I refer to red, blue, without making you think I'm trying to combine it? Because orange, red is a color. Green, blue, and you see what I'm saying? So you would say red and blue. That creates this distinction point, but it also keeps them connected, like sun and moon. They are polarity, yet they're divided by this distinction. But this is why opposites connect, because the serpent in the middle of the yin-yang is why we call it the yin and the yang, yin and yang, or whatever, that's the and point, or the DNA. So that and is also antenna, right? Antler, dealing with the beanstalk, the connection. We can go deep with this etymology, but I ain't going to do it, though. So you can see in this image Christ and all of his followers becoming one. All of those serpents or branches you see immersing Christ is all of his followers becoming one with him. Like a snake ball. They having a ball. It's a ball of seraphim, which is where Jesus is. So when they say I'm wrapped up and winded up in Christ and I don't want to be untangled, yeah, I know a lot of y'all heard Pastor Pochop say that one before. I'm wrapped up and tangled up in Christ and I don't want to be loose. Yeah, I want to be free. Now that I see what this year is, this is a hive mind. Yeah. That's what they say. I'm wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up. And I'm like, damn, now I know what y'all saying. This shit is like, no, no, nah, we ain't participating. So, I was saying something before I got cut off on the live stream, but I forgot exactly what I was saying. So let me see exactly where they cut me off at, and then I'm going to pick back up. If there's anything in a hologram, see, and the word hologram is why we have Halloween. Because when Adam and Eve put the clothes on, they wrap themselves in a flesh or a flash of light, which is what your body is. Light that's going to fade into this world and fade out when you die. So the word life is just the word light. Your light is expressing itself in a hologram and it's shaping itself in a body. And when it choose not to do that no more, your body will fade out of existence just like a light fading off. Life, light, flesh, flash. Check this out, y'all. Okay, so yeah, I can pick up right there. Now, when we wear, during Halloween time, we wear costumes. Now, don't you know when you say costume, you're saying a cosmic tomb? C-O-S is the root word of cosmos, the root word of cost. When they say your soul is paying the cost of life, and that's death. The price of life, the wages of sin is death, and sin is the body, the sin. It's the cost to pay for it. So when we say costume, the original costume was the soul putting on the body. C-O-S meaning we created our own cosmos, our own worlds, and in those realities, we put on avatars. We put on avatars. And the word avatar is the word Eve in Torah still, Eve, Tara. Eve in the Bible, and Abba, Because check this out. It was Eve that got us kicked out of Eden, right? And if they want to play on that, they can say our bodies are a Taurus field that was given to us by Lilith or Eve, the black goddess in Nana and Ishtar. Because before it became Satan and the devil in the Middle East, it was Alak. It was the black womb, the reaper, was a woman, you know, at first. So that was Eve, and many say Eve and Lilith are the same, which is why they said Eve was evil, and she represent the woman that had a relationship with the serpent, was seduced by the serpent, right? So cause is like a cosmos. Your body is a universe, meaning the aura around your body is the world outside. I already went into how deep this is. Cos and tomb, meaning that your body is literally a tomb with your dead soul in. And when your soul get up out this body, your body gonna die and your soul gonna resurrect. But this body is literally a living tomb. It's a living tomb or a zombie. So, Ka's tomb. Halloween is dealing with the hollowing of the energy. The hollowing of the energy is what put us in the flesh. You know, this earth is called hell, but another way they spelt it was H-O-L, like holy, holographic, Halloween, hell. Hell is doing what? Holding a bunch of people. It's holding you. And the root word of hold, hell, I held you. Hell is a place of holding these souls captive. And it's a holographic universe. If you can see it for what it was, it is the false light of Satan or Saturn, the god of this world, the god of disc world, the circle world, the one that's attached to a pole like a what? CD disc. And it spins. The heaven spins to read the disc below. So the thing is this. Like when we talk about hell, that was talking about like Halloween. That's dealing with, it's a hollowing of our energy. It's a dilution of energy, a distortion of energy. It's taking compressed, pure, united energy like a ball, right? Think of a ball of slime. A big ball of slime. It's taking all that compressed, unified energy, and it's slamming it down, and now it's separating it into little bitty balls of slime. Now you're going to have a bunch of little bitty, once it splatters, it's going to separate to many little bitty slime little puddles versus when it was one big ball. So when the sperm hit the egg, the sperm is a small ball of compressed light, like the Big Bang, is so fucking dense. That's what you describe, what your energy was, the soul. It's just a big ball, small compressed light, like Polaris. When it start to expand, it get diluted. It ain't as bright no more. And when it's not that bright, it can only express itself as a hologram. It can no longer be a light because it ain't bright enough. You know that a hologram is a dim light, and the word damn is a dumb light. We are holograms, y'all. And we're about to remake new bodies for ourselves, just like we did at the first Genesis. We're having a great reset right now. And the last time we created this universe as advanced souls on a higher dimension, we created these holographic bodies, and we fell into them. We could fall in angels in the flesh of life. We about to redo it again. Because I guess the creator of this simulation decided he can do better, and now like a computer, everything got to get upgraded every 7,000 years. Just like I'm running software. After so long, it's going to say, hey, a new version of this software is available. Would you like to update it? If I keep saying, remind me later, eventually my shit gonna stop functioning right. That's probably why my software just shut down today, because I keep on reminding me later on the update. The systems that we use to go online are constantly getting better and better. So the software that we use today gotta constantly update itself all the time. If you use computers a lot, you know you got to run an update damn near every month. That's how fast technology is going and how our software people trying to keep up with it. So likewise, on a macro scale, the technology behind this simulation that we call life, it has to update itself every, you know, like 7,000 years or so. This thing get a whole, redefines itself, get an update. And that's what we're going through right now with this great reset. This great reset is revealing a lot about our reality. And that's why this time is called a revelation time. Technology is showing us things we thought wasn't possible is possible, and is making us question what we are, where we are, and all that. And while it's doing that, the people in power got to try to control what questions we ask. They got to control with this new awakening, this time we in, what questions we ask. Because, you know, they don't want us asking the right questions. They only want us asking the dumb shit. And when they want you caught up in asking the dumb shit, that's how you end up with a science that, thank you. That's how you end up with a science that said, I wonder how many Mentos can we put in this Coca-Cola and shake it up before we put it up on Mythbusters and little shit like that. Like, they don't want you asking the real deep questions like, what is deja vu? Why do we dream? Could this earth be a created world and some sort of soul harvesting thing? Oh, you're so dumb. Man, they will laugh your ass up out of there talking like that. But they were going to let a preacher pray on them, and the preacher saying the same thing, that this earth is not our real home, it's Satan's home, and that the saints of Christ need to rise up out of here. Now, if you go and tell a pastor, look, man, maybe this earth ain't the real earth. Maybe we should learn to meditate and get up out of here. Oh, this is a pseudoscientist. He's a threat against science. We got to censor him. Oh, we got to shut him down. That's a threat against science, and it's disrespectful to all the science and all that is misinformation. But they got a pastor up in a White House, a rabbi up in a White House who believe in a goddamn talking snake. Because they want the world to believe in a talking snake when I'm telling you what the talking snake is. The talking snake is the energy inside of it. Here's what they're calling a talking snake right here. It ain't a literal snake talking. It's dealing with this whole kundalini energy inside of us, meaning the true self is a seraphim. In Bible days, to the religious people, this is what the seraphim is. What we're in the new age, they call it the kundalini. You know what I'm saying? So if the root word of kundalini is kundal, which is where we get the word candle from, the light inside. See what I'm saying? So the word candle is also the word candelier, or when we say chandelier, the C-H is candelier, chandelier, all of that. So think about all that. If they, rather the world believe in the religious interpretation of our reality, of taking it narrow. See, the religious order is got to take all of these symbols and make sure that modern man never decipher them the way that I'm doing. They want you to take it literally, which is why if I go out there talking the way I'm talking, they going to crucify me. But I'm literally saying the same thing the pastor's saying. I'm just ain't telling them, when you die, you're going to heaven or hell. Now give me all your money for time. See, they'll let them scammers do that. But when I do this, thank you. Free thought under attack. You got to wake up and understand what I'm telling you, man, what's going on. So let me see. So the snake that we see talking in that poem, that's called God, or the Most High. I told you that the Hebrew God El was a serpent god. I've been telling y'all that that's the same God of Pharaoh. Now we talk about pyramids, and I'm gonna show y'all some about social engineering and programming. Watch this here. Now, everything I broke down to you today, I know that it was profound, and I know that it must blow you away. It blew me away. Now, check it out. Everything I'm teaching you about the sand in this hourglass and how a pyramid is built from the top down with this sand has been corrupted and turned into people worshiping pyramids in the sand. You know, like how if I whisper, the gray cat walk across the street, by the time it gets to somebody else, 10,000 miles that we pass it ear to ear, it's going to be the red dog walk across the street. Yeah, if I whisper, if I line up 100,000 people and I pass a message to all of them and say, the red cat walk across the street, by the time it gets to the last nigga, that's going to be the blue dog walk across the bridge. Our ancestors were teaching about time and immortality by using a pyramid in the sand. And today, they're teaching us about time and immortality with the false pyramid in the sand. Do you see what I'm telling you? And people, I got proof that these pyramids ain't even that old. You know what I might do? Because I ain't gonna even check. I really don't got all the proof on how these pyramids weren't that old. But some of y'all do, and I bet you niggas in the chat room and tell you that it's video that's showing them building these pyramids. I might let niggas on to go into that part. I might need a little help today. Matter of fact, let me see something real quick. Drop a one in the chat room if you know anything about the conspiracy of the pyramids around the world was just recently built with technology in our time. If you know any kind of shit, if you got your information ready and you want to come up here and sidekick this shit and lay that part of the knowledge down on here, drop a one. I'll send you a link. And then we can be thorough with this presentation. But for now, what I'm going to tell the people is that's true. That's a conspiracy. That's a theory that's out there. And even though I'm not going to present none on it, you can go look it up. And others have already been looking it up, talking about it. So these things might not be, oh, what the fuck is my... oh, there we go. Damn, I'm like, what the fuck is my screen? So think about what I'm telling you about how they've been distorting the truth over time. They've been distorting the truth over time. Like back in the day, our ancestors would give you this hourglass right here, and they would teach you what's happening at the North Pole, how time is being created from the top down. Look at this. They would teach you about time and immortality and time travel by using this hourglass. You know why? Because this hourglass is the center of magnetism. People look at it. It's hourglass. It's not mine. It ain't no single person. It's our motherfucking glass. It's our burrow. This is what the our burrows is. If a snake lives in a burrow, and the our burrows mean our every human on earth live in their own house. But guess what? In Eden, all of us are one supreme being living as a collective state of bliss in a unified state. Ain't no mine and yours in Eden. Everything is ours. We are all one in Eden, which is why we talk about the hourglass, the hourglass. Now check this out. Eden is the middle of the earth, and at the middle of the earth is the hourglass. We got to use words like our, we, words dealing with union. You know, if someone was sliding down this, guess what they would say? We. When a kid is screaming we, when they sliding, this is the part of the cosmos where we all speak the unified language of we, of the hourglass. So check this out, y'all. Putting sand in this hourglass would teach us a lot. It would teach us a lot about time, and it would teach us a lot about immortality and cycles of time. Just by putting sand in an hourglass, we were able to teach all the knowledge that I broke down to y'all the way I'm doing it. And so essentially, the pyramid in the sand unlocked the secrets of the universe. But what they do today with social engineering, that term will be true for many ages, that the pyramid in the sand would unlock the secrets. The only way they can debate that is to change the imagery, which is why I deal with sacred geometry. Today they say if we study the Egyptian pyramids, we can unlock the secrets of time travel, immortality, and time itself just by studying these pyramids in the sand. But on a subconscious level, the reason we think that's true, even though we never unlock the code, we just end up religious fanatics and Egyptomaniacs with costumes on, and we are part of a whole nother religious system again. We never become immortal. We never unlock the secrets. We just buy a big unk and some dashikas and think that we God and talk like we God. But we don't really have the power that they claim to have by studying the pyramids in the sand. That's because we're not studying the right pyramids in the sand. This is where the knowledge comes from. This is where the knowledge of an expanding universe, of the point where time is creation. This is where the knowledge of how time is created. Cycles of time and pendulum shift happen. When you flip the hourglass, that's called a pole shift. That resets time back to day one, and we start from one. Don't you know the Mayan reset their calendar every 7,000 years? Because they said that this hourglass we live in is flipping. One side is evil, one side is good. And when the sand is in the evil side, hell is on earth. And when the sand is in the heavenly side,
That's bringing back the heavenly age. And the Mayans said our entire system on this simulation of Earth is recycling back and forth in between dark age and light age. Because one of these bulbs is dark and one is white, light. And when this thing is in the white side, we are using natural sciences that's connected to Eden and building a heaven on Earth. And when there's a shift come and a pole shift happened, the Mayans said we get disconnected from nature and start making machines and technology to build civilization. And they said these shifts is just the nature of this duality, this dual simulation. It's like a macrocosmic night and day, age, light age. But it's dealing with the collective consciousness and how connected they are with the system that they are within. And when they are disconnected with that system, they become in fear of the very world around them so much so that they go to war with it. And they think nature is attacking them. And they think they got to shelter themselves from a heaven that we once knew. And then when we wake back up, we start looking at the world different. We start looking at this same world different and start saying, man, maybe I do want to go outside and live in the jungle. Hey, I want to visit Fiji, and I don't want to be around technology. Hey, I just want to eat fruit and enjoy the waterfall. When people start talking like that, that's when they know we finna come to another shift and the light age is coming back. And once we spend a lot of thousands of years doing it that way, guess what? That's going to get boring. And we're going to say, man, what if we can create a machine to pick that apple for me? Because you done got lazy, right? What if I had a robot making this smoothie while I'm enjoying my little nature in Fiji, right? And then we go back into the industrial age. Then when we realize what we've done, we go back into the goddamn nature age. And these shifts of this light inside of humanity coming on and off, on and off, on and off, collectively over ages, the Mayan call that dark age and light age, or yin and yang. And that's the two sides of this hourglass. We're the sand inside. So studying the pyramids in the sand to unlock the secrets of the universe had nothing to do with visiting Egypt, my nigga. Today they give you this. They give you this kind of crap. Because they want you to think that for you to learn the nature of time and immortality and time travel, you need to go look up the Egyptians. No, brother. You need to go look up some flat earth. See, this ain't a cultural concept. This is an earth concept, a cosmic concept. So if you ain't dealing with earth, flat earth, or cosmology, ancient cosmology, then you dealing with ancient aliens and bullshit. Look at what they telling them. The Young Investigators Guide, they leading the young people astray because they know they're going to be young children just like I was. I asked a lot of questions about life, and they led me to ancient Egypt. They led me to the Bible, and I spent half of my life in that shit. Imagine if our young folks can get the truth early. They can be set free a lot quicker. So they give us stuff like this. And they give us this kind of stuff like that to really hide this stuff. This hourglass is the Ouroboros. You see it right here? Ouroboros, hourglass. The ether is the glass, and it's ours because it's our house. We live in it. When we forgot that this was ours, we thought it belonged to the government. We handed it over. Look at here. this serpent represents the ether, and it's called an ether. Why? Because it's the boundaries of the universe. It's the end of the world. These are the walls that we're inside of a donut. And when you slice the donut in half, this is what it looked like, a Taurus field. So the wall, the shape of our house is shaped like this, the ether. And another way to look at it, just so I don't lose you, let's go to the Hebrew cosmos. Let's go to maybe a Mayan cosmos and check me out. See, this is just a Taurus field, man. We're in the mind of God. So look, we're inside of a Taurus field. That's what your brain is. That's what this is. This is what they're calling a thermal fusion reactor. Did you know that? Your neural network is network is united together via what they're calling thermal fusion. The only thing in creation that can create that is the pineal gland. It ain't fire, it's light. What they saying about the sun is really true about us, y'all. They said that the sun is creating its light. But people, that's what we're doing. They lying. It's all about us. The solar system ain't got nothing to do with the sun. It's got something to do with you and me. They want to know, how is your body being projected by your mind? How your holographic avatar called a flesh, or this flash of light you call a body, how is it being projected around the mind? How does the mind do it? So they've studied the mind to see how it projects the body. And guess what, y'all? They figured it out. And this is what they came up with. Holographic humans. They've studied us to the point where they're now at an impressive stage of reverse engineering what we are. And if you understand what they're coming up with, it's not flesh, it's flash. It's not flesh, flash, dealing with light. Because they understand the holographic nature of our reality, and they're just reverse engineering it. Here's a thermofusion reactor. And what did I say about Halloween? This is why we have jack-o'-lanterns. The damn jack-o'-lantern is a Taurus field. Check it out. The lantern houses the light. The pumpkin head is your body, and the light inside of it is the pineal gland. Check this out. Check this out. The light inside of the jack-o'-lantern is the mind inside of the brain. Our entire human body is a projection of light, of our soul taking its light and shaping it into jack, or the hologram, which is the body. In other words, your soul is like the candle inside of this jack-o'-lantern. It don't have a shape. It's just pure light. But once it expands, it becomes jack-o'-lantern. It started, in other words, when the light expands, it expresses itself as a human in its expanded state. And its non-expanded state, or what we call compressed state, would be its unified state, when it's simply a ball of light outside of the jack-o'-lantern, of course, because the light can't shine inside of this jack-o'-lantern. It can only animate the jack-o'-lantern. In other words, it can only make seem like a human, but the pumpkin ain't a human, it's a pumpkin. But with the flickering light inside, it brings the pumpkin to life, and that'll make a little child scared than a motherfucker, because it actually looked like a human, some sort of figure now. Now, look, the light inside of the jack-o'-lantern is animating the pumpkin, making it appear real, like a real figure. So the jack-o'-lantern is siphoning, is stealing the energy of the candlelight just for the sake of being fake as fuck, just for the sake of the pumpkin appearing to be something it's not. And that's no different than your human body would be the pumpkin. And the soul inside the body is what animates the body, is what brings the body to life. And just like if I take the light outside of this pumpkin, it won't really be scary. And when I take the light out of your body, then your body ain't nothing to fear. It's a corpse. It has no animation. This whole jack-o'-lantern concept is the same concept linked to Jack in the Box. Because when we take the light out of the jack-o'-lantern, that's like taking the Jack out, popping out the box, or Jack going up the beanstalk, or this whole out-of-body experience. Taking the candle out of the jack-o'-lantern is taking the mind out of the body. And at that point, when the candle leaves the jack-o'-lantern, it's nothing but pure light, free to shine as bright as it can. But if it's inside the lantern, it can't shine as bright as it wants. It can only go as far as its control over the body. This is why every single human is an infinite soul, a creator, a God. But once God get in the body, God can be a dumbass motherfucker. You know, God can be a motherfucker that I got to kick off my panel every goddamn show. And that's the thing, why the out-of-body experience is needed. Because when a dumb motherfucker has an out-of-body experience, when they come back in their body, they start asking the right questions then. Ooh, maybe they have different worlds. Ooh, maybe they have different versions of me. Welcome aboard, dumbass. That's the true baptism of awakening, isn't it? So that I know y'all got a good laugh out of that one. And I didn't rehearse or plan that one. We about to move on in a minute here. Hold on a second, y'all.
Please like and share the video. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell. Be sure to select all so that you can receive notifications every time we go live and upload to the channel.
So the light that we see beaming out the pyramid is literally the soul being released from the body. And that's the secret of peace, the peace symbol that I was showing you earlier. If you think of the peace symbol, because this is where we find peace, according not just to me, but a lot of ancient traditions and religious systems. In other words, according to the Maya and even the early Christian religious priests, I got to go on and tell the truth, they all agreed you cannot find peace in the body, because the body experiences pain. It experiences like the seven deadly sins, wrath, pride, all of that stuff. So what was it about the imperfections of the body or the flesh that they tried to overcome? And this is what I'm giving you here. So, hold on a second. Let me spark up and we're gonna move on. If y'all like deep information, hit the like and share button. You know, I've been doing a lot of trending topics, and they've been getting a lot of views. I don't know why people don't like this deep information, but we're going to do it anyway because this is for the few to proud, baby. I'm coming, y'all. Let me see what we got on the board. Oh, yeah, there go that peace symbol. So the symbol of peace is dealing with you exiting the damn earth, man. You uniting with God. Because there's a mountain in the middle of our earth. I'm going to show it to you one more time. Here. This mountain in the middle of the earth, I already just went over this thing, and I don't want to be redundant, y'all. But let me just refer back to this image and just show you. This is where we find peace at when we get centered. And this is where the center leads us. This mountain is a volcano, and what's coming out of that volcano is human life. Not human life, but, you know, souls. It's like a lunch system. You see this dude over there? He ready to be lunched out of his body. When you lunch him out of his body, that little white ball that we call in the mind inside the brain, that's Jack popping out the box. Here go another image from the Sumerians. Jack leaving the box. That's the mind leaving the brain. This dude is personifying the mind in the between the skull. Our earth is a big brain. We're inside of a brain. And the middle is the way out. And that's how you unite with the thinker. Think about that. You really wanted to unite with me. You don't hug my body. You go into my mind. I done hugged a lot of people in my life, but didn't unite with but a few. Because unity ain't physical. Unity is mental.
Mm.
Hugging a lady don't make y'all two one. Getting to know each other make y'all one. Why, though? Because what's making the union is the mind, not the body. The connection is being made with the invisible energy, not nothing you can see. Two minds connect, they become one. When two bodies connect, we just call that fucking. So I'm giving you the deeper science to what we are and how we are, where we are, why we are. Now check out this mountain in the middle of our earth. What this literally represents here, and you know what? I can pull this up for y'all to make this easier. I actually got some stuff that'll go deep into this with you. You know what? To make this easier, let me just pull it up here. Sumerian tree of life. Kabbalah, maybe I can find it here. Of the guy ascending. Here we go. This is what I'm looking for. Yeah, buddy. You see that? The ascension of a soul is what we're looking at. Check this out. You see this artwork? This even up, the Sumerians are backing me up. When I told you we live in an hourglass, this dude right here is like a grain of sand that made it out of the hourglass. See, if we go back to the hourglass image, see, like I said, at the middle of our earth, right, this magic mountain is what allow your soul to lead the earth. This what launches the mind out the body. In other words, everybody know we can have out-of-body experiences. But for your mind to leave your body, it has to be launched. When they show you pictures of Saturn eating up the souls, why do you think they call it lunch? These words today
have been bent out of shape and distorted. But this is the launching of a human soul. See, today they want you to be scared and say, man, they was eating up bodies. Them humans was getting ate up. You were being launched. That's a difference. You see this baby? This baby looked like it's being ate up, but it's actually being spat out or being launched. Now, there's a paradox. They can be confusing. Because while the body is being chewed up, the soul is being reborn or launched into a new avatar and a new experience. So the word lunch can mean eating something, and it can mean actually spitting something out. I can say he vomited and he lunched sausage chunks all over the place, right? I can say he launched his lunch, right? He launched his lunch, right? And that paradox exists because of what I'm teaching you right now. Isn't that awesome? We'd be cracking the code over here. So Mario traveled the different worlds through pipes. Where did that come from before it became a Asian video game? The North Pole is the tunnel system by which we travel to different warp zones, as they call it. This is real science. Traveling through a pipe is an old concept, but you're talking about the North Pole. Check this out. Here's the tree of life that I'm giving you here from the Sumeria. Let's go to it again. Let's go to it one more time. Where did I put it? Got a lot of stuff open. I shouldn't have never closed it. How did I do that? Here we go. Oh, we about to go deep, man. Okay, I'm going to go to a one that shows up pretty clear. Yeah, that's kind of blurred, but I think that's good enough, though. So, yeah, you can see this soul being launched from a pipe or like a cannonball, a human cannon puff system, Jack popping out the box. Look at this. This is the Alma Mater. The crazy part about it is this type of artwork is associated with diploma, and the word diploma sound a lot like deployment. Diploma, deployment. And this soul is being deployed out of its body. Its body is being buried inside of this tower in Babylon with the rest of the people living in. See, let me share something with you, man. This tree right here that this dude is coming up out of, this tree is the earth, y'all. That's what I'm telling you. You don't see it? Let me just pull something else up real quick. Let me show you what that is. This is what it is. Uh-oh, computer freezing. Wait a minute. I'm asking it to do too much. Here we go. That's what that is. They basically showing you a soul that just ended its earth life, and its soul is coming up out the earth, and its soul is, it looks just like its earthly body, but it has wings, though. See, we see a dude right here standing in front of some gates, right? That's today's concept. Before we had a dude standing in front of some gates, guess what we had? A soul with his wings spread. Can you see it? See, people, they want to take away our wings. We are really souls, higher beings. But they trapping you in the body. Your body can't fly. They taking your wings in this world. So check this out. If you look at this human with wings, they turn that into you standing in front of the pearly gates. Open your third eye. You don't see it? Instead of them giving you wings, they giving you gates, man, which is another prison, and trying to make you happy about that.
It don't supposed to be no gates in the clouds. It supposed to be creatures with wings flying around them clouds. But they took away the wings and they just put a nigga in front of a gate and some clouds versus this right here. Come on, man. Now check this out, right? Zoom out. What is those steps? Those steps are the earth, man. This is down here is a pyramid in Mesoamerica. Look at here. This is Samaria. This little tree is the earth that we're living in. Right here. And you know what? They call it capitalism because it's capped off. You see the cap at the top right there? This is dealing with the quantum computer because that cap is the great seal, which is the root word of ceiling. The seal is the ceiling. And if you look at a quantum computer, look at it, man. It's suspended from the ceiling. It's got a great seal because it's sealed from the top and it's on the ceiling. This is what the stars are. They're not levitating in darkness. The darkness is a wall, and the stars are like diamonds stuck in their wall, like stuck in the dirt. That darkness we see in the sky is literally a boundary, a pressure wall that can, just like we got windows in our walls, look at the stars that way. Now, when we use computers, what is the software called? Windows. Each of those stars is a fucking supercomputer and a gateway into a whole nother universe, just like each of y'all computers is a gateway for me to get on the internet and access NMI accounts. I can use any one of y'all computers to access all of my online accounts. All of them stars are connected to the same internet the same way. So essentially, they are a network of quantum computers, and this is why they call it the quantum universe. Now, the name of this video is, why do some people say that the pyramids are created from the top down? And I told you I was going to show you the many ways that a pyramid can be created from the top down. And guess what? Here's another way. People, you got to understand what I'm showing you on the screen, that our universe can be quantified. And if it can be quantified, and when man can reduce it down to a quantity, he can reverse engineer it. The only thing stopping us from replicating anything on Earth is what would make something impossible for us to replicate if we can't quantify it. Quantifying means we can't measure it. We can't calculate it. We can't study it. We can't quantize it, which is lay it down on a grid and break it down like the periodic table. The moment man quantified the universe, meaning he cracked the code, he learned the mechanisms of the universe and turned it into data that he can understand on paper. He then created the quantum universe, which is his replica of what he thought was happening outside that he would perfect over time to make his version of the universe more and more similar to what's outside. And the moment he get his just like the one outside, we can pop champagne because we just know we just reverse engineered the universe outside. And man has getting closer and closer to that point right now. So when we look at the life inside of something like this, it's no different than life in something like this. Scientists, the one said, we will be living out our life in quantum computers. Wait a second. So what I want you guys to do is go look into mind uploading. And I know y'all tired of me keep on, bringing that shit up. I was just about to bring it up now. Go look into Mind Uploading, and you will see about life inside of man-made matrices, man-made systems. And according to the research I've done, I think that the Tower of Babel is the quantum computer. I think when we look at all of these images like this right here, that the ancestors was telling us, because listen, man saying that our height of technology is quantum computers and CERN, and they all link together to open up these portals so we can see the early phases of the universe and all that, blase, blase. But when you think about CERN and quantum computers, this was all the symbols of the ancient world. The spiral is the CERN, and the step pyramid is the quantum computer. We ain't been putting it together. Why do you think all of these step pyramids are golden? You think that's a coincidence, too? A lot of people think that I be reaching, man. But just think about what I'm saying. The step pyramids all over the world are gold or bronze. When they would have been bronze coating or some sort of golden, like this shit here, like the sand pyramid I was showing. Like, to me, I'm making a connection, man, like with this golden pyramid. Because in ancient Christianity, they said he got the whole world in his hand, and they was talking about the God that held up the beehive. Matter of fact, I'm about to show you the beehive in ancient Christian art so you can see I'm not capping. And the beehive, we think, well, they was worshiping the beehive because this man, they was personifying a quantum computer. Yo, the church had this technology back in the day. This is how they was having them great resets and shit. This shit is deeper than what we think. Let me show you something, man.
Hey.
I got to throw this up now. Talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. The pyramid that's built from the top down, I'm showing it on the screen. This is the golden bull that they put souls inside of that thing and sacrifice. You are a soul that was sacrificed to this god Saturn, the god with all the rings. The rings are what we look. This is God. The word beast is the word computer. Go look it up. Let me pull this shit up. Hold on a minute. I got to go to my old folders for this. Give me 1 minute. It'll be worth it. Wait a minute. Maybe I do a search in here, right? And that'll lead me to it. Watch this. There we go. Somewhere. Yeah, this is what I'm looking for, all of this stuff. Okay, so if it's pulling it up now, we're going to go even deeper. All right, so which one of these folders have what I... Hold on, y'all. Because this is important, man. Look at this. People, this is ancient Christianity talking about being born again and again. And that's their god Saturn recycling you inside of a supercomputer. Look at this artwork in ancient Egypt. A bunch of people that's connected in together as one network is called a hive mind. If you look at these images right here in ancient Egypt, what is he worshiping? The different levels of a quantum computer. They said a pharaoh achieved immortality and he buried himself in a golden tomb. This is the golden tomb of immortality. Look at this quantum computer and tell yourself, we're not doing nothing new. If ain't nothing new under the sun, why don't we look around the ancient world for quantum computers and symbolism of quantum computers? We'll find it. Look at this. All you got to do is look for it. All I got to do is look for it. Look at this. Look at this. The pine, listen here, man. The pine cone worship, the bee shit. Matter of fact, I'm finna go deeper with it. Y'all ain't hearing me. The colors of Freemasonry is black and gold because of what I'm sharing with you. Let me pull this up. I can show you God holding up a beehive. Now, they said God got the whole world in his hands, right? He should be holding up the earth. Look at this. Why is people, this is ancient Christian artwork. This ain't mine. The Pharaoh dressed like a damn quantum computer. People, it's time to open our eyes, man. Look at here. They talked about streets of gold. This is the pyramid that's built from the top down. So whenever the queen moves, the whole hive moves. That's called a pole shift. Mm-hmm. Now check this out. You can't tell me that this is not some symbolism that's dealing with a quantum computer. No one can tell me that. I'm so convinced that this artwork in Egypt right here, he's showing you the different circular levels of a quantum. It says in the Bible that they all worship the beast, but the beast is computer. I believe that the ancient people started to create their own simulations, and they fell into Sam, not sin, but simulations. They fell into the damnation of their own creation. And it was only when they got inside of their own universes that they realized their worlds was not better than our true heaven. How would you know? You got to actually go in to find out. But when you in there, it's too late. That's called damnation. And the only way out is the reverse process of what happened to get in. And that's the paradox of life and death. And this whole out of body, coming out of the avatar, come out of her, my people. Because in Egypt, they was worshiping the beast or the golden calf. And this is the golden bull. I can show you what I'm saying is true. Watch this. Everywhere you look, you see these circular rings. And it's two things you got to think about. The rings that's around the rosy, because the Rosicrucians, instead of them having a calf, they just got a sacred rose with the rings around it. But that rose ain't nothing but Saturn. The red rose is dealing with resurrection. It's a play on words. The red rose is the blood of Christ. And the word rose is the past tense of rise, risen, or rose, which is aroused. Because when someone is aroused or rose, they erection, resurrection. This bull was the first.
No!
So about what I'm saying, this golden calf and the many ring layers at the stairway, the circles of Saturn, and the fact that it's gold, right? And you got to play that into this, man. They said that they were sacrificing souls to this thing. What was they saying? That people was uploading their minds into quantum computers. And that's why I said that this damn Pharaoh hat ain't nothing but Neuralink, nigga, with an antenna at the top. It's time to open our eyes, y'all. That's all. Why would this man be walking around with a beehive on top of his damn head? That we don't see that it's technology. Technology. Let me see if I can find this old collage with the Neuralink shit. Because I don't even know why I be moving still. I should have kept that thing. But anyway, let me see if I can find this real quick. Man. Hold up a second. Yeah, I be moving stuff around so much on this thing, and I don't even feel like looking for it. But think about what I'm saying. The Olmec helmet, the Pharaoh hat, this is New Orleans. Let's just go to pull it up from here. I'm going to give you a good example. I forgot what I typed in to get to this. The first, the original version. Anyway, if I open up one of these, it'll probably lead to all of them. Let me see here. But, yeah, this is still the same shit. When you see them with the cup on their head, this is what it's symbolizing. Shit like this. Like, look at what the Pharaoh wearing. Think about Hellraiser, Pinhead. Why you think they call him Pinhead? Let me show you who Pinhead is. Saturn, Satan, which is the fallen angel, you and me. This is Pinhead. Now look at that. Now look at this. It's just time to wake up. That's all. Look at this. Why everybody wearing that dumbass hat? Because that's technology, bro. This is dealing with resurrection and immortality. They saying we can upload a person's mind at the point of death and they can live forever. Why you think they got a cross at the top of that hat? Because that's resurrection for Christ. They have a cross at the top like this. So the Pharaoh was actually wearing the crown of immortality is what they call it. Now, why would they call it the crown of immortality? And we think we doing something new. We saying nothing new under the sun, and I'm showing all this stuff. Look at what the Pharaoh had on his head. All of them stripes. What do you think that is coming out of his head? Them the wires, man. All of those stripes that you see in this artwork that's coming out the Pharaoh head is no different than these wires coming out of this dude head. See, that's what I'm telling y'all. This is capitalism. It's the magic cap of Hermes, the wing cap. Everybody saw that cap before with the wings on it. Why they got a wing cap? Because that helmet is the access to the heavens. This is the crown of immortality that was worn by the Viking god Odin. Because Odin, again, is Eden and Aten. This is the knowledge of the crown, the sacred crown. And this showing you that everything about our world is dealing with advanced technology. What we call in high spirituality is just God-like technology we can't comprehend. And we are that technology, which is why we need to start trying to comprehend what the hell we are, because you don't buy no electronic that you don't master. I got a MIDI board on my table right now, and I know how to use it. I know how to use all the electronic equipment I bought. Your body is electronic equipment, and guess what? I still don't know how to use this motherfucker right. So until we master this technology versus this technology, we're going to always rely on this technology and not this technology. So this was some kind of technology that the Vikings discovered, that the Egyptians discovered, and it let them... They was talking about a helmet that allowed them to travel to heavens, all right? That's why the Minnesota Vikings football team, they got the wings on the side of their shit. And this ain't no different than the Indian hat. with the feathers all around it. It was sharing how we achieve flight through the crown, the sacred crown. But they reverse engineered that into technology on this earth. And we've been stuck in the technological form and not the real base to heaven or whatever. So what the Pharaoh and them got on their head resembles a quantum computer. They all worship the beast. And again, the beast is the computer, is what they're getting us back into today. Here go the Christian interpretation. All right, here is from Great Britain. Why do they got people living inside a beehive? We're not bees. Because they were talking. People, this is an old concept, man. If they doing it today, you better believe they have done it many times on this earth before. The only thing people is new to is us new humans who was just born in this generation. Why do they call us generations? Because in a simulation, the inhabitants of us, like if you playing Halo, it's saying waiting for zombies to be generated. Playing a computer game that needs to be populated with people, it may have to load the wait, loading population or generating a population. This is called a genesis, and there are generations after generations. People, we're literally talking computer language the whole damn time, man. The divine intelligence that's in everything is fact that we're inside of a intelligent mechanism of some sort of advanced technology. From putting a seed in the ground and growing shit and all that, this place is programmed with an intelligence. And that right there is in itself that we're in some sort of advanced simulation. And once we go to talking simulation computing, the only thing smarter than man is what? A computer. And man has said for centuries that God is the intelligence that supersedes that of man's. I'm going to say that again. God is any intelligence that dominates the intelligence of man. That thing now is God. Man is now serving that thing. Every day, what do? We bow to computers. Look. We bow. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The concept of bowing your head to get an answer from God has turned into you doing just like this. And God will tell you whatever you want. The technocracy is a religion. That's what I'm telling you. The traditions and rituals we do today are hiding ancient technology. That's what I'm telling you. Bowing your head, scrolling. All the terminology you use to interact with a computer are the same terminology they use in the religious world to interact with God. Server. Who you think the server is? You and me. Servants. You literally can take the Bible in a computer room and start interchanging words and see why the word computer is synonymous with beast and God, the ruler of this world. The most advanced intelligence in this world down here is artificial intelligence. You know why? Ain't nothing real down here. The human itself is artificial intelligence. We say to ourselves, AI is smarter than us. Yo, we're AI. We should say the new AI is smarter than this old AI called a human. They're building the new human body with more computing power. So as they build AI that's smarter than humans, they're going to give humans the option to live their life on in an AI body or a new superhuman body. And before you know it, there will be a new human on Earth, like what happened during the reset with Noah. These great floods are floods of information. They are floods of knowledge that the ancients, when we talk about these great floods and great resets, that's when this knowledge resurfaces on the earth, and these folks use it for good. Some people use it for evil, but either way, it resets the earth every time we discover this knowledge, and we about to do it again in our time. Noah did it in his time. What the flood is the 5G network, the new networks that's going to house the new world and sort of like in the Matrix over the new one. Our old world will be just a base to house the towers that our consciousness is living in. Show you something about Noah's Ark. See, Noah's Ark, let me show you something. I want you to open your eyes up. Don't you know Noah's Ark is what I'm teaching you about here? It's a quantum computer. Now, just hear me out. Watch this. When you pull up the interior of Noah's Ark, the interior inside Noah's Ark is a quantum computer. It's a quantum computer. Let me pull it up. Inside Noah's Ark. Inside Noah's Ark. Here it goes. Now, Noah's Ark was made out of golden brown wood like we see here. Look at it. Now, look at this quantum computer. This is Noah's Ark. The Great Flood was a flood of information. It happened again in our generation. We left the information age, and now we're about to have a great reset. We in a reset in pandemic age. Don't you know when the world received a flood of information, it came from the computer, and the computer is the serpent. This was the knowledge that got Adam and Eve kicked out of the first Eden. And us can see the computers are smarter than us. Without computers, we wouldn't be able to open up these portals and stargates with CERN and use all of these thermal fusion reactors. CERN wouldn't be possible. Time traveling. So when I showed you the images earlier of the snake opening up the portal, that's dealing with this computer. The knowledge of the serpent is dealing with the computer, the beast. This is from Great Britain right here. Look, this is like Noah's Ark. This is the British beehive. They got this all over Britain. But what does it mean? It means flat earth. Now, here go Noah's Ark with all the people living inside of Noah's Ark. You see this? You know that a ship like this would be impossible, right? Made out of wood and nails by one fucking man and a hammer. Sorry about that, y'all. I'm just saying. One dude and a hammer. No inspection team. None of that. One thing go wrong, we dead. One dude and a bag of nails and a hammer built a fucking ark this big with three levels like a cruise ship and hit the ocean. It's time to wake up. So what were they showing us with this ark? The way out of this ark is through the chimney. You notice that? The North Pole. You see this? Look at the interior of it. This is our earth, y'all. And they turned it into Noah's Ark. They turned the truth into a lot of the different folklores and pseudoscience today. Let me give you another example of Noah's Ark. Here we go.
The only way out of Noah's Ark is through this blue pole in the middle. Let's take a look at it. You see that? You see that? You see that? Why the Santa Claus got on a cone-shaped hat? Look at this lady right here. When you standing up under this chimney and it's time for you to leave this house, you leave this house the same way you entered it, with this Santa Claus hat on, this birthday hat on. This arch right here of the covenant is why we wear the birthday hat. This lady right here, this is why the Pharaoh got that shit on top of his head that I just was asking you about. Let me pull it back up. Show you something real quick. Where is my Pharaoh picture? Damn. See, I keep taking stuff down and I'm going to need it later. That's fine. Hold up a second. Hold on 1 minute. So this is what I was looking for. Check this image out. You know why the Pharaoh got that on his head? Because it's symbolizing ascension. The beehive is really the earth. It's a quantum computer. Now, they're calling it the quantum universe. Now, check this out. Standing where this lady is standing right here, it would be at the Santa Claus, the North Pole, and it's right here where we would wear, you know, the cone hat on the head like she's doing. So that's why I was saying about this image here and then this one here. This was symbolized when the Pharaoh died, him going to the North Pole with his Santa hat on, because that represents the chimney point to the earth, which is the ark. The earth is the ark. All right? So I think that our earth is a quantum computer like we see here. Here in Samaria, they carved this in a golden hue, golden stones. They got a soul launching up out of the quantum computer down there, which is the earth. See, let me share something with you. Let's say that this quantum computer is the earth, and you were born on a bottom shelf. Your energy got to flow through each of these circles. So the Hindu said it's seven ethers. Each one of these circles will eat up your energy, and you will be born again seven times. And the seventh one is the one where we actually go out, and it leads up and out of the computer, where our energy will be transformed in a room up here with the gods, right? Whatever's happening when this dude leaves the computer, he's greeted by these gods in a higher level, in another, like, universe, where there's some sort of advanced technology. And in that universe, some of the advanced technology they created just so happened to be little humans in little bitty worlds. And that's, like, what we're saying, what we're in here. And so we're seeing one of these souls now exiting, is leaving its final incarnation and exiting the computer. And what that would be like is if the energy in this computer ascended all the way up the tower, once it make it out the computer, they would have to take your electric energy and put it in some sort of refined avatar in this dimension to even interact with you. And then it would be like some sort of debriefing where we would now recollect all of our seven incarnations and shit like that. And stuff, and it'll be, and what it says in the Bible is that the mysteries of God will be revealed at that time. And what that means, that our whole experience gonna be explained.
what this shit was all about. And that's what this dude, what's happening with this dude right here. So this, it leads to the a higher building up here on this top floor, where at that point they transforming the energy from this computer here into some sort of higher refined energy that's compatible to interact with the gods. In other words, if they were to take you out the computer prematurely, you wouldn't be what you need to be to live in this area out here. It's like waking up a caterpillar while it's in the middle of its transformation, you'll actually kill it. Because the caterpillar body ain't no longer there no more because it's transforming, but the butterfly body ain't fully there because it ain't fully transformed yet. So it'll just die because it wasn't compatible for this earth. If it can fully transform to a butterfly and come out the cocoon, it can live because the butterfly body is compatible with this reality. The caterpillar body is compatible for this reality. There is no species in between. The species that's in between is what we call in the cocoon, and that's the grave. If a baby is born into the world prematurely, it can die very young. Or if you pull a fruit when it ain't ripe, you'll actually kill it before it's time, stuff like that. So what's happening is the gods are waiting for all of these souls to hatch from the tree, but they can't pick them for you. You got to, what happened is your consciousness got to grow so big with your awakening that you will get so heavy, you would have to break out of your shell, or like an apple that grew so big it had to fall off the tree. That's what's happening with this dude up here. That's what's happening with all of our awakening. We growing too big for this Babylon of baby land, which is the tower. We outgrow the tower, and that's the way out. You got to outgrow this world. That's the only way out, which is why they want to keep everybody not growing, not spiritually evolving, and on a childlike Babylon, baby-like, baby-land level. So you understand this Sumerian art. Ascension is something you got to do, like a baby trying to walk. Your mama can't walk for you. Your daddy can't walk for you. If you don't start crawling and trying to stand up and fall a couple of times, you ain't going to be like every other human that had to do it for themselves and learn to walk. So just like a bird learning to fly, the same thing, a bird trying to learn to fly. And that's what the soul is. That's why I'm showing you this artwork right now. This life is teaching you how to fly. See, when we say everything happened for a reason, you quit complaining about what's happened and start learning what's the reason for it happening.
Boom. There it is.
And then the mysteries of it all will start to make sense. So the only thing I'm going to tell you is this right here.
Life begins when we stop being complaining assholes.
It's a soul living out all its karma in these underworlds until it's able to ascend into better and better. It's like that movie, The Platform. The higher up, the better the experience. Y'all remember that movie, The Platform?
Mm-hmm.
The people that was the higher up was living the best experience than the people at the bottom and shit. Right? This is the Tower of Babel. And then we were born, you're born at the bottom, and you got to work your way to the top.
Rebirth or whatever. And this is what this whole system is. It gets better and better, guys. And that's comforting. That was comforting to the ancestors to know it get better and better all the way till we ultimately is free, like we see right here. So we are a caterpillar inside of a cocoon, and when the caterpillar is asleep, it's dreaming seven lifetimes.
And the seventh dream is going to have a final awakening. And when it come out the cocoon, it'll be a butterfly, like what we see with this dude right here. And the earth is the cocoon or the incubator. And this is dealing with technology. This is the bridge between science and spirit. And here's Noah's Ark, y'all. This is also the Ark of the Covenant. All of it the same thing. It's the earth. Here's early Christian artwork of the earth, early Egyptian artwork of our quantum universe, as they call it. And here is the headgear that was worn by the Pharaoh, if you ask me, to achieve the crossing over of consciousness, Neuralink, the great crossover, the Passover, the Exodus, you know. So if you look at the Pharaoh's hat, he's got the wires. The feathers are the wires. We personify the feathers as wings, the wings are these wires on each side, and we can see that on the Pharaoh head. That's how we connect to the computer to upload into the simulation. And once we get inside, our memory is deleted of this whole experience that you ever entered this shit until you get out. And then when you get out, I guess that's what the God's telling that dude. Hey, man, you agreed to this shit. We told you we was going to lock your memory up, but you got your wings, nigga. Be happy. You got your wings, though.
That part.
You know, I can only imagine what they telling him after his last incarnation on the earth. Like, it can't be that you enjoy it. But whatever they telling that nigga, you know, that'll be interesting. But, yeah, here go more artwork, though. Boom, boom, boom. Here go artwork, the whole world in his hand. Yeah, this right here, man. He's holding in his hand. They showing you this quantum computer technology and how you create a hive mind, which is what Christ was talking about. Let my mind be your mind. Let's become one. Let's go online and link up one network. That's what this is like, the internet. You see what I'm saying? So check this out. Internet, the net. Jesus being a fisherman, a God with a net. We need to think technology like internet, because this God created the world like a nut. See the spider. His web is literally the World Wide Web.
Mm.
This was technology that
it's
was
all making sense, right, y'all?
And these step pyramids ain't teaching us none a day. It's just a religion of ignorance. What we need to be looking into is quantum computers, because this is the future of what they trying to do with human consciousness on Earth and what we call our souls or our consciousness. So, again, we already went into all of this stuff. I don't want to really hog the mic. I know people want to come up and ask questions. People may want to come up and, yeah, I can reserve some time for that. Check this out. Here go the thermal fusion reactor. And I was showing you that the Ouroboros, basically the inside of a thermal fusion reactor. This is a Taurus field. We already know that. Look it up. Here it is right here. This is the Mayan, look at, this is the Mayan cosmos. Now look at this. This is what your skull look like, and your two eyes would be the sun and moon, which would be the two particles that they are accelerating inside the fusion reactor or the CERN machine. This the jack-o'-lantern. So we live in one. The earth is that, and the two particles that's being accelerated is the sun and moon. We live in a big thermal fusion reactor, and that's how this thing generates its energy. So there are different levels of heaven up this pole right here, and this would be like a quantum computer or a donut, because all of these circles got a pole going right through the middle. All of these circles are like a circular earth,
and then there's a pole going through the middle of it. That's why I keep showing you the Noah's Ark, and I keep showing you how it's a quantum computer. That pole connects all the worlds, and it also is the way out, just like we see right here. Because when you get up in the middle part of this thing and you want to go out, then you go in the middle and you're being up and out. And that's what this symbol means. Look. See here? That's what's happening at the North Pole. And they don't want us to see what it looked like as souls are being beamed out of the quantum computer. I bet you that'll be a sight to see, man. Like, if we can go to the North Pole, you will literally see this happening. You see this dude right here being launched up out of the Dark Mountain, the Bim Bam Stone? That's why the Pharaoh put wings on himself. Let's look at the Bim Bam Stone. Pharaoh put the wings on himself, on this stone. And this capstone that's hovering above the pyramid is telling you that the missing capstone is a projection of light. This is like a volcano's capstone is actually the lava that's coming out of it, which is why they worship a god called Vulcan back in the day, because of this, what I'm showing on the screen. Let me show you. The capstone of a volcano is missing because the capstone of a volcano is capped by the fire that's coming out of it, top of the Christmas tree. This is why the Liberty Goddess have the torch flame and the god Vulcan. Okay, so if I show you a shaman hat, you'll see what I'm saying. Let me do that for you. That's why I like sacred geometry. I always look for ways that can even make it click even more for you. So this is what shamanism is. It's volcanism. It's the volcano. And the soul uploading out of the hat is this little feather at the top of my eye. That's the fire coming out the volcano. Yeah, the feather is the fire. See, these are the wires coming out of the Neuralink hat. You see it? Let me show you something. Let's backtrack for a minute. Let's backtrack. Hold on a second. You see the wires coming out of his head and the stripes on the Pharaoh hat? That's how the fire is coming out the volcano, the same pattern. People, you got to pick up the patterns. Look at here. The Pharaoh got black and gold arches on his head. That's the black and gold of a volcano. This is volcanism. It's all the same religion. The pattern that he got them arches is the same pattern of his headdress. This is why Rastafarianism wear dreadlocks. All of these kind of headdresses like this with dreadlocks and all that, like what the Pharaoh got, is dealing with how our soul bursts up out the body. Vulcanism, the name of this spiritual system, because it's saying that our soul exits the body like a volcano with fire coming up out of it. That's why everybody got these volcanoes on their head, calling them birthday hats, because our true birthday is when our soul erupts up out the earth, and that's when we experience peace, just like this symbol show. Yeah. See, that's what, see, this is what volcanism is. It's not fire coming up out of it. It's light. If we can see the sacred volcano mountain at the North Pole, it's beaming up a straight trajectory of light, and it's like that light is like an elevator system for souls to only go one way, and that's up. Elevator got a load limit. Let me show you something. That's why the ancestors said you better be light as a feather, because every soul will get inside of this elevator by themselves.
And if your ego is heavy as hell, guess what? That elevator ain't going nowhere. It'll go down, if anything. This what's happening at the North Pole. When you stand up on this thing, a judgment don't happen. When you get to the top of this mountain, and everybody got to do it, you can't escape it. This life is like a laser beam. It's going to read your energy. And if your energy is light enough, it can't shoot you up the stream that's gone. You're going to slide right back down the other side of that pyramid and be going back onto the earth again in another world, in another, like, parallel version of the sun. And you will keep sliding down the walls of this pyramid till you get light enough to be beamed at the top. See, this is an elevator that's only shooting upward, but it's got a load capacity, and you got to be light. It ain't going to work for you. So when it's talking about the Pharaoh being the capstone that's ascending above the pyramid, the Pharaoh is saying, hey, I'm low as a feather. I ain't committed no sin. I ain't done no wrong. I haven't exceeded the capacity. So let me ascend. And then, boom, he beams up as a shooting capstone. That's what this is. So this is what volcanism was about. This is where we can finally, you will not experience peace until you work out your karma on earth. And by the time you do that, guess what? You'll be so light that by that time when you make it to this part here, it'll beam you on out, man. It'll beam you on out. So this is volcanism. And again, this is why the Pharaoh's headdress shaped that way. And that's why it's black and gold. Because look at this, black and gold, or Halloween colors, right? Orange and black, yellow and black, same thing. That's what this is dealing with. Rebirth. Mind uploading. Transition. So right here, this shaman hat will show you about volcanism and why they got them feathers at the top like Ma'at and what the Indians done. I think I need to open up the calls, man. Like, really. No cap. And again, before we do so, here's Atenism. Atenism. Again, you can compare Atenism to all of this stuff here. You'll see it's the same religion. Right here, boom. I'm a answer all questions, and we will entertain legitimate smoke if it ain't no foolish shit. Because I'm on some advanced stuff, and yeah, man, I ain't got time for the dumb smoke, man. Got to be good smoke. So I think I'm satisfied with where I'm at, and we can let the callers come, and then I can grab my headphones while y'all hit the link. So let me drop it. And share button if you haven't already, and if you can, please hit the donate button below the call. I can tell by the way that the likes looking that the donations probably ain't looking good, but we appreciate the viewers for what I'm teaching right now. So dropping a bomb for everybody that's watching this, your view matters. Round this bitch, goddamn. Let's drop that link for real. And get this thing going. Dropping a link for questions and answers and for smoke. And it's not a round table. It's going to be one at a time. Like I'm just waiting for the, it ain't going to be that. So know what you coming with. And let's get the callers in and out. You know, I do good with giving you time. And salutes to y'all. This show got to be different because I got to get out of here. I ain't rushing it though. I just want to do one at a time, and I don't really want a large panel today.
come on up and let's whatever y'all got, man. And we're gonna be brief. And then I got to get the hell up out of here. We're going to do a couple minutes per caller, and this should be pretty dope. Salutes to the sister Yvonne. We're going to start with her. She's the first caller. Thank you for joining, sister. How you doing?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing well.
Oh,
so
I'm good.
My thing is this. That's good. So my thing is this. I've been doing a lot of research about, like, the black sun and, like, the sun and the moon, right? So, like, I've been on other people's channels to see if I can, like, cipher out, like, everybody else, like, kind of wondering about the sun and moon energy. And basically, like, with the ancient technology, the sun and moon is our ancient technology. Like, we didn't used to have, like, a black sun or a moon or none of that. We just find out.
Hold on 1 minute. Now, sister, I don't mean to be rude. And I hope the people don't think I'm being rude, but we're doing question and answer and smoke only, unfortunately.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so that is my focus. Because my thing is, like, with polarity, I mean, you always talk about the polarity. So my thing is, like, who created polarity? Why is that, like, what we live by? Like, are we really electromagnetic people, energy? And when I look at electromagnetic energy, there's still like a split. So my thing is, I mean, I'm not going to say I have smoke, but my thing is, like, can you explain that? Like, why are we, you know, having to cycle off like a synthetic energy?
So, yeah, that's what I went into basically. The stream was that light starts from a singularity, and anytime light shines, it creates a circle at the base, which is the duality, the 360-degree circle, north, south, east, west, man, what this, that. But at the center ain't no directions. Ain't no such thing as up, down, left, right, this or that. It's just center. But when we leave the center, once we get outside the center, that's being in duality, you know, if you don't understand what I'm saying. So, yeah.
I do get that. So, have you not thought about, is that ancient, like, technology that's foreign to natural energy? Like, your polarity star in the flat earth, is that not ancient, like, terraforming technology, too?
I would say that, exactly. That's what I broke down with the Egyptians. All of this is ancient terraforming technology. They even call Earth terra firma.
Okay.
Yeah,
so what were we before that?
I think before we were humans, we were beings of pure energy. If we can think of what like a pure light source. If somebody say, where is that light shining from? It's shining from within. Like if think of a black hole that's so small, right? But since light can't escape a black hole, all the light of the universe will gather around that black hole. This is what they call the Christ mass. So when you see like this silver plate in ancient Egypt with the silver rim around the black stone in the middle, that's just gathering. Light came escape a black hole, so it would get, like how water gets sucked down a kinetic drain, and it gathers around the drain and make a tornado. That gathering is this vortex. What I was saying that's happening at the North Pole is like a spiral staircase, and all these souls leaving and coming on the Earth. And as these souls leaving and coming, it's like tornado winds. Hot, cold, and they don't mix it. And one going one way, one going the other, 6-9, it make a tornado vortex. A spiral staircase of babies coming to the earth and humans leaving. So this dual system is like a tornado thing, if you will. That's the nature of it. Like
And the reason for it, just to answer you, is that energy has to stay in motion. Energy can't cease to exist and it can't be still. So this pattern that I'm telling you, which is DNA, which represents the body, which is the Tasmanian devil vortex, it's a combination of the higher self and lower self meeting, like tornado winds of polarity. Your body, or this kundalini DNA energy that's responsible for manifestation, is literally this meeting of God and the devil, this great war. And it's happening inside of us between good germs, bad germs, good energy, bad energy, this constant war of what makes us in this dual world where the polarities are seeking balance with each other, like stirring up a blender or something and wait for shit to settle, but it never settles. So in this case, you're just trying to get the object stirred up in their own layers in a blender because the stirring won't stop. That I hope that's a good explanation, but that's what's happening.
Yeah,
but
my thing is, like, you know, I know all that, and but I my thing is, like, what energy and what vibration, what frequency made us want to, like, become like this cult energy? Because it's, like, playing out very bad. Like, it didn't work. I don't know if our ancestors did something that was very obtuse and skewed. Like,
yeah,
I want anybody to be on my side.
They did.
And that's what I'm looking at. So I'm looking at, like, my goodness, cause I can say this. Like,
so
everybody here has
to answer you, too, what they did was very bad. But see, they had already done something very good. That's what I was saying about this polarity and this cancel, this law of probability canceling out. Like, if there was a possibility that these good people could have made a hellish world and been bad people, then we're literally living out that path, that probability. Like, we can't escape evil like we can't escape good.
Okay, I get that. So my thing is, just I was just asking, like, because my thing is, like, why did we turn? If we was living in, like, this blissful place, like, why did we create that? Like, what was in our Akashic record? What was in our, like, mind? Why would we want to do that?
I got you. If all you know is heaven, it ain't heaven. It's normal. So if all we know is up, it ain't called up. It's just, if there's no polarity for good, how do we know that's good? Like, we know, well, this is good because that's bad. That's bad because this is good. I know what love is because I know what hate is, and I know that hate ain't love. And I know this love that this person giving me is nowhere near hate. And you can feel it. So it's like, I know when I'm like up, down, and shit like that, this law of polarity to, like, we could not manifest the ultimate good without manifesting the ultimate bad. It's a law. You put it this way. You can't build tallest mountain without digging the deepest hole. If I give you a shovel and I say, hey, pile up that dirt till you make the biggest mountain on earth, you're going to also make the biggest hole on earth. You can't, it's just like this law that you can't get something without giving something, and vice versa, like give and take. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Right, I mean, I look at it as reciprocal energy. Like, you have to put energy in to receive it back.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
But, yeah, man, salutes to the sister.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to listen to y'all. But, I mean, my thing is, like, I always ask questions, like, why this and why that. I mean, without asking questions, like, you will never know. like, you know, as far as what is our purpose here? Because we all were born with a purpose. It's like, okay. And I look at, like, we are dealing with a lot of points.
Hey, Sister Yvonne, salutes to the Sister Yvonne. Her call was awesome, man. I'm going to work them through as promised. Salutes to the brother, Sacred No Lie. I got to get you back on, Yvonne, when I get a little more time to deal with y'all, man. For real, I like
that. Oh, you good. I appreciate it. Y'all go ahead and have a good time. I'm going to drop out.
No doubt, man. Salutes to
everybody.
Here y'all go for the people saying they want to join. I dropped the link for y'all. Sacred No Lodge, what questions you got for me, man, or what smoke you got for me? Salutes to you.
Salutes, what's cracking, man? I enjoyed the presentation. I just want to say it was tight. I always learn stuff when I listen to you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right, cool. I want to kind of add to what you're saying, because the ancient world we have lost, we really don't have any knowledge of it. We think we do, but now it's starting to come out. And I want to direct people to a YouTube channel where they can start going and learning what we really used to have. It's called the Tartarian Meltdown, because I'm sure people know about Tartaria, but they haven't got to the point where they see, like, the structures that used to be. Can you see that?
I can see it, brother.
See how the middle pocket of survival is starting to look kind of like a mountain? There's a lot of structures like that all over the plain that are, like, half destroyed. Let me give you a better example, another example. This, you see how it's...
Yeah, gotcha. Now, go ahead and make your point with that. Go ahead. You got it.
No, just check it out. Just figure out that we had a civilization that was extremely advanced. And like, to me, when they say the Great Pyramid, that's an insult, slap in the face, because we built pyramids that now they're destroyed. But they used to be like the Himalayas. Those were a series of pyramids. They got melted and destroyed. And we have examples of it. If you go to the Tartarian Meltdown, you're going to start seeing that what we have is pockets of survival. They tell us that they carved it into the mountains, that you're going to see enough pictures, enough of remains of stuff like that's melted, like falling over. It almost got fully destroyed.
We're doing Q&A and smoke, because what's going to happen is what's happening now to where the stuff you showing, I'm trying to see how it relates to my topic today about the pyramids being built from the top down. We got to tie this with, like, if it don't relate to today's topic, that's what I mean about why I have to, you know, kind of, people don't get.
Well, in a way it relates to me is the pyramid's been inverted. So also the pyramid represents consciousness, like the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. It also represents the spiritual evolution on this plane. So you have less spiritually evolved at the top, and then the people at the bottom, they're coming along. You know, they're going to end up there too. And it all comes together at the top. So just it's been inverted. Now our political system, it's all backwards, and we have the worst people at the top, and the best people are having a hard time. So, you know, the pyramid, they get built from the top down, all spiritually, naturally, almost like it just happened naturally, you know? And now we have a artificial version of it. So that's what I want to add.
Well, I appreciate that. And listen, guys, on the next stream, remember some of the stuff I touched on this one. And when it's like an open panel, random topics, we can kind of go deep on that stream. I'm pressing for time today. That's why I'm kind of having the calls like this. But y'all know any other day, man, we'll have a round table. We'll just go deep. So it's all good. I do want to hear what y'all all got to say. But so salutes. We're going to do it on the next one, though. Salutes to Sacred No Lie.
One love.
For sure.
Peace out, yo.
Yeah, salutes, man. That's the only thing. Show this to people that's talking about the pyramids being built from the top down. Give them the link to both of these streams, part one, part two.
You can hear me?
We can hear you, my brother. Welcome to the bill, man. Salute. You got it.
I was going to say about part video you made. It's not about pyramids, isn't it? But it's about, you talk about quasi-luminous. So I got a question about that still. Is that fine?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. We listening.
Go on. So, I've done Blood Over Intent here. And I've actually, like, for me, personally, I can see that Blood Over Intent is the key. Like, it's actually the key to, it's not even the key to getting out of it. It's the key to fixing the virus, the problem of the world. Like, if you think about it, yeah? Like, think about it with the army and stuff. Like, what do they do when people go to the army? They die, and they're dying for money. They're dying. It's like sacrificial rituals. You understand? So with the whole world like this, it all works under blood. Even gangs, like, think about it. Gangs do the same thing. Like, they're dying for money. It's all under the Queen's face. Like, in the UK, in other countries, there's obviously gangs on everywhere. Everyone's dying for money. Money is their god. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but so here's what I was going to say, mate. Blood Over Intent, this is why I know it's the key in it. If you think about it, yeah, like, as a first ever human, yeah, to exist, yeah, how could a first ever human come from a male? It can't come from a male. It has to be a female. It has to be a feminine entity. And the black sun represents feminine, and the Jesus in the sky represents masculine, yeah? The Jesus basically fucks the middle, and then out comes the mother light. And that's literally like the DNA code, and that's the same. It's the same thing as inside of us. It's like our heart pumps out blood through our whole body. If you look at your veins, they're green. It's literally like the moving lights, like as above, so it's like as within.
Now, see, I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate what the brother Sacred was saying. But now, you know, it's almost like nobody asking questions or coming with smoke. And I want y'all to continue. Yeah, what you're saying.
Well, look.
I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, though. But what I'm saying is I should have just let the sister earlier say what she was saying. Yeah.
But do you understand?
Y'all ain't coming. Yeah, but I do understand. No, and I actually agree with everything you're saying, though. No cap. I got you. I follow.
The Blood Over Intent is so important. I said actually think about it. This whole world is corrupted, like, from in every single aspect the world is corrupted. There's no way us human beings can fix that problem. He's like, what are we going to do? We're going to go outside and make a boat to fix it. No, that's not going to do anything. Think about it. This whole world is powered by blood. The only way you can change it is by using your blood and redirecting it with our intent to bring heaven on earth. Make this whole world better for everyone, not just for one person. Make it better for everyone who's existing here, not just for one individual. You understand?
Yeah, most definitely. Hey, man, look, Blacks, we need to get you on the next round table, man. I hope you catch it. Yo, you on a different time than mine.
I always watch your videos, man. I always watch your videos because, like, I always hear you talking about the mind, innit? But it's not the mind, it's the heart. It's all about the heart. Think about it. It's the heart. What's the first organ you have when you're born? It's your heart. Think about it really deeply in it. Obviously, I'm not giving you the questions in it, so I'm still going to watch the thing. If you want to get someone else on, I don't mind it, but I just have to get that off my chest. Because, like, you're a good person, like, you're really helping a lot of people, so I want you to, for me, being Blood Over Intent, I can see everything clearly, and I was not going to sit there, and, like, I literally see, I've woken up, like, a few people, a few of my friends, not everyone's willing to wake up, because, like what's your name, Quasimodo says, everyone's, like a big fraction of the world are zombies, and zombies just means AI, that's literally what it is. They're undead. Everyone's dead. They're in the book of dead. You understand?
Most definitely. Listen, this brother's cooking. I hope we're going to get him on another one. Check this out, y'all. Real talk, man. I wish I didn't have to leave so soon. But check this out, man. We will get this brother back and the sister Yvonne back and all them on the next one. I'm going to make sure our next round table is on some deep shit. Like this, man, real talk.
I was watching, I can't lie, though, one more thing. I really, that video about the UFOs, yeah, that's probably my best video you've ever made, so that one's not interesting.
Hey, man, let me say salutes to you, Blacks, and you're always welcome back, man. We're going to rent you up, too. Salute to the brothers in the UK, man. I'm going to go ahead. We're going to get you back on. That's my salutes. Hey, y'all, check this out before I get out of here. Everything I'm telling y'all today, think about this. Here is Medusa. And you know what she holding up? Her own head. That head is a copy of herself. You know why? Because just like Mama Callie holding up the heads of a dude, and all of them heads is the same head of that same dude. This is the concept of a multi-headed dragon. All of these different heads got to be chopped by the god, and Kali is the god going to rip up all them false egos. Those the chakra layers. Look, the layers is what gave birth to the slayer. I'm going to say that again. The layers are what gave birth to the slayer or the ripper, and Kali is the ripper. And we got to rip through each of these false incarnations or chakra layers here. Each of them is a different version of you that got to be ripped or sliced up. And that's what she's showing here. All of those heads on her necklace, that's the same dude. And until he cut all of them, then he won't be conscious as Kali. He's really the goddess Kali. But he think he that dude in the world. But until she chop all them, then his consciousness will be in her. Like at the end of Metroid, it was a woman. Now, I ain't saying that we're fucking women. I'm saying they call it the divine feminine. During this time, they was referring to God as a woman because the third eye is what gives rebirth to the soul. And all of us have our own portal or cosmic womb to give rebirth to our energy. Not your body, your energy. You're in your own loop of yourself, if you will. So when we see Medusa holding up her own head, yeah, this same thing Callie's saying. And look what she wearing, a hat with wings on it. Why? Because this is technology that allowed her to project her mind into other images of herself like the one she's holding up. She said, look, I resurrected. I slayed my dragon. The dragon is the part of you that's dragging along your energy. All of these little strings attached to Jesus right here, that concept of a dragon. You're dragging along all of this dead weight on you, and you can't be free till you become light as a feather. So the chakra layers are the dead weight. Each one of them is a tomb that you got to break out of. You see? So you can look at all of these strings attached to the ball as the thing that's anchoring the ball to the earth. What do you mean, Brother Sanchez? Watch this. The ball is like a hot air balloon. But when it's anchored to the earth, its energy is being pulled all the magnetic ley lines on the earth. All the magnetic ley lines on the earth is the light of this world that's got your black hole or your consciousness anchored down, like we see here. So the concept of the Ankh, the concept of the God of the anchor. Remember, Jesus built his kingdom on the earth like the Pharaoh. This is the concept of anchoring. All of these lines are what keep this ball held down. But when we cut all these strings, this thing gonna levitate. So this is what the anchoring religion is about. All of these chakras and chakras and stuff, it's the solar system of Saturn. These are the strings that they wrap. They got us wrapped up. And when we start to cut all of these strings, we can break free. We can break free. And this image shows you all the strings attached to Jesus, keeping him a serpent weighed down into the earth with the powers that be. And this is what our soul looked like as we're being harnessed by these folks on this earth. Just like this, folks. Let's take a look at Medusa's headdress. Before we go, I want to pat at the Neuralink, right? This is what Medusa represents. This headgear allow us to be born again. And so this is why this goddess became Jesus today. As you can see, all the snakes that's covering her, right, is this right here, the knowledge of mind uploading. Look at Jesus. How did Jesus resurrect? With the same technology we're going to use, the same technology surrounding Medusa. Boom. Check that out. It's of Medusa, the pyramid built from the top down, and you have many more coming right here on Bro Sanchez TV. Let me go ahead and thank everybody that donated to the show. There are no more callers, and I'm going to get up out of here. Salutes for your Cash App donations. I appreciate you. And thank you for the PayPal donations as well. And I also want to drop a bomb to all of my Patreon.
Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is the song of the world from a legend of the Pima Indians. In the beginning, there was only darkness everywhere, darkness and water. And the darkness gathered thick in places, crowding together and then separating. Crowding and separating. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And this is from the Hindu Upanishad. In the beginning, there was only the great self reflected in the form of a person. Reflecting, it found nothing but itself. Then its first word was, "This am I." Why is it, Joseph Campbell wondered, that in almost every culture on earth, you can find stories that tell of virgins giving birth to heroes who died and are resurrected? Osiris, Tammuz, Adonis, Jesus of Nazareth. Parallel stories of suffering, sacrifice, and redemption. And why did certain sites take on holy status, one religion following another, on the very same spot, believers coming century after century for healing, or for some other blessing from their different gods? The pyramids on the Nile, the ziggurats of Mesopotamia, the Aztec shrines, the cathedrals of Chartres and Notre Dame, all pointing beyond the visible plane of existence. Buried deep in our DNA, Campbell concluded, no matter who we are, is the need to worship, to believe, and the capacity for reverence. Religion, with its symbols and rituals and stories, is the way we mortals try to connect to that unseen world. Raised a Roman Catholic, Campbell's own life experiences made him a maverick in search of the sublime. Over the last two summers of his life, in hours of conversations recorded in the library of Lucasfilm in California, we talked about how mythology can still awaken a sense of awe, gratitude, and even rapture. Why myths? Why should we care about myths? What do they have to do with my life?
Well, my first answer would be, well, go on, live your life. It's a good life. You don't need this. I don't believe in being interested in subjects because they're said to be important and interesting. I believe in being caught by it somehow or other. But you may find that with a proper introduction, this subject will catch you. And so what can it do for you when it does catch you? These bits of information from ancient times, which have to do with the themes that have supported man's life, built civilizations, informed religions over the millennia, have to do with deep inner problems, inner mysteries, inner thresholds of passage. And if you don't know what the guide signs are along the way, you have to work it out yourself. But once this catches you, there is always such a feeling from one or another of these traditions of information, of a deep, rich, life-vivifying sort that you want to give it up.
So myths are stories of the search by men and women through the ages for meaning, for significance, to make life signify, to touch the eternal, to understand the mysterious, to find out who we are.
People say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think what we're seeking is an experience of being alive, so that the life experiences that we have on the purely physical plane will have resonances within that are those of our own innermost being and reality. And so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive. That's what it's all finally about. And that's what these clues help us to find within ourselves.
Myths are clues?
Myths are clues to the spiritual potentialities of this human life.
What we're capable of knowing within?
Yes.
And experiencing with it.
Yeah.
I like your you changed the definition of a myth from the search for meaning to the experience of,
it's
of meaning.
Experience.
Experience of life.
The experience of life. The mind has to do with meaning.
Oh,
in
sure.
Here, what's the meaning?
Sorry, guys. Sorry about that. Thank you, guys. That's it. It kind of went over to another lecture, so I apologize about that, but join me at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central for a Motivational Classroom. What I got today. Okay, what if I told you God was the devil, part four? Okay, so I'm concluding part four. What if God had told you that I was the devil? Okay, so join me for that, guys. All right, peace.